All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
So welcome everyone for this fantastic post-gig match analysis with myself, James, from the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis, and...
You got Adam from Listen Up Music. Good evening, everyone.
All right, guys, how are we doing? We've got quite a few people on already. Before we get into what other people had to say, Adam... Well, I feel a bit overwhelmed by it, but what's your initial reaction to that?
I thought it was fantastic. I really did. I mean, I wouldn't say I was dubious, but kind of just a little bit of the unknown, wasn't it? But yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I thought the visuals were fantastic. I thought it sounded amazing. Great song choices. And yeah, enjoyed every minute of it. I'd like to watch it again. Yeah, completely enjoyed it.
Yeah, but we can't watch it again because, like, it's just a stream. I know, like... Yeah, I mean, I'd like just to say, like, I really did enjoy it. It's a bit annoying because we're doing all this tweeting along and stuff, which was really good fun to interact with people. But I kind of feel like I have to watch it again now to actually watch it and take it all in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's I've got the fastest thumbs in the West, I think. We're just keeping up with all the tweets.
Well, yeah. Well, you guys are used to this because you do a lot of like Twitter listening parties and stuff, don't you?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we've done quite a few through lockdown, and yeah, particularly the Oasis ones are always busy. So yeah, used to liking and commenting very quickly. So yeah, but it's but I enjoyed that as well. It's good to hear everyone's thoughts on it as well. So yeah, really enjoyed that too.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Before we start getting to everyone, and thank you all for muting and not like being annoying. We're not getting spammed with like weird porn like I did that first time when I posted a Zoom link on like public Twitter. That was not an experience I want to repeat. Just to give you my two pennies worth, I thought it was really, really good fun. I mean, it was short, you know, it was like, we're done. Like, that's it, you know? Yeah. Whereas, you know, I think most gigs when you pay for it, you expect like an hour and a half, and that's probably an hour with the fact it didn't start, you know, bang on eight. So, you know, it was probably about just over an hour. I thought like the band was sounding really good. I think it'll be an interesting question. It'll be interesting to get you guys' thoughts on this, whether or not it was actually like recorded on that boat, because, you know, from what we're hearing, and I think it was Ryan Harvey, you pointed this out to me, that they, Bone had said in that live stream, they did a lot of rehearsing in Brixton Academy. And actually that sound did not sound like sound recorded on a boat. That sounded like something recorded like in a studio or in some, it sounded too good. You know what I mean? Where's the wind? Where's the, you know, the mess of that, you know? So I think it sounded almost too good, but I don't mind that, because I'd rather it sounded good and maybe it was touched up in the studio or, you know, than it sounding crap. You know what I mean? So I'm fine with that. But no, generally I thought it was great. I really, really enjoyed it. And it was just so great to have live music back. You know what I mean? It's just fantastic.
I think a lot of people have mentioned the cost of it, but I mean, I feel like I got my money's worth with it, definitely. I think it's a stroke of genius by him, because, you know, throughout this year, people have been a lot of online stuff, haven't they? And there's been a lot of gigs streamed from studios and stuff, but he's done something completely unique, hasn't he? On the boat, like that, all the visuals and stuff. And yeah, he smashed it. So either him or someone around him has made a very clever choice there, I'd say.
Maybe Debbie. I'd say she seems like a smart cookie, to be fair. But yeah, it does seem like a good idea. I doubt it was someone in Warner Brothers, but there we go. All right, who have we got? Who have we got? Who would like to get involved? If you want to get involved, just unmute yourself. There we go. Andy, there we go. Andy Middleton. I said, I just joked on Twitter, no, you can't come in. You do too many of these. But come on, Andy, what did you think of it, mate?
Well, I'll just start off by saying today was meant to be mine and my partner Louise's wedding day. So that got screwed by COVID. So I think I put on Twitter, like, what better way to celebrate or commiserate than watching Liam do a gig on the River Thames? And to be honest, I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. Like, I just thought it was incredible. We had a blast. And, like, I've got my son sitting next to us, and he's 15-year-old, and he kind of loves Oasis as well. And we like deafened ourselves with the music. It was great. And personally, definitely worth 16 quid. Would have paid 20 quid for it, to be honest. And whether it was recorded at Brixton Academy or not, I'm a bit disappointed to hear that that might be true, but it was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And what did, how did you have any problems with the tech getting yourself set up, or were you okay?
Well, I did it through my phone and like screen mirrored it, but it did stop a couple of times, didn't it, Aaron? Like what's the story, it stopped for like a few seconds, and then I think during once it stopped for a few seconds, but that might have been down to my dodgy signal, you know.
Got you.
But no, it was quite straightforward.
Nice one, mate. All right, brilliant. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get to have your wedding, but as you said, it is not a bad second option, isn't it? And I suppose that'll come. You rescheduling for next year or something, mate?
Yeah, 4th of December next year, so like the same day next year.
Fantastic. Yeah. All right, well, I'll wait for my invite. I've got my hat ready, so we're all okay.
Spot on.
All right, cheers for that, Andy. Good to speak to you, buddy. Who else have we got? If you want to unmute yourself, if you would like to jump in. I think Paul's unmuted. Paul Costello, are you there?
Hello, how do you do?
How you doing, Paul? Good to see you, man.
Good. That was very enjoyable.
How was what did you think? Did you have any particular tunes that stood out for you?
Head Shrinker was great to hear. That was probably my highlight.
Fantastic. And you're a drummer, aren't you? What did you think of the drumming?
It was pretty good. I thought a couple of the tunes were a little bit draggy, a little bit slow, but nothing. I thought it was good overall. Pretty good performance.
Fantastic. Worth the £16.50?
Ah, yeah, I think so. I suppose maybe the only tune I didn't like is the, surprisingly enough, was Cigarettes and Alcohol. I don't know, just whatever way they're playing it, it doesn't really... Verses don't really feel right to me for some reason. I don't know if anyone else thought the same, but it's just, it doesn't groove some way or so. I can't say, oh, this is wrong or that's wrong, but that's nitpicking, to be fair. It was pretty good overall.
Fair play, mate. Fair play. All right, cool. Well, thank you, Paul. Thank you. It's good to speak to you again, mate. We'll speak to you again soon. And if people don't know, you do the Inside Song podcast, which is really good and really worth checking out.
Cheers, James.
Who else have we got? Someone want to unmute? Oh, Richard Bowes is unmuted. Richard, how are you doing?
Right, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, you've been very quiet today. I didn't notice you coming up on Twitter today. Were you around? Were you watching?
Do you know what? I actually decided, like, I thought I'm actually going to watch it, like, actually sit and watch it, like, on my computer screen. So I didn't bother to really get involved in listening parties. And it was because it wasn't like the listening parties where you're kind of tweeting, you've got nothing to see. This was a good visual thing. I thought it was shot beautifully. I thought it looked great. Like some of the choices they made, like having the background of Tower Bridge against Once, I thought was great, and a few other little choices. But I'm starting a campaign to get Bonehead to join Liam's band full time. That's my take from that. I think, I mean, obviously it was the Oasis songs apart from Once he joined in on, but it just sounded that much. I just think that much better. Just when Bonehead's there, I just think it has much more meat to it, much more energy to it. But yeah, it was a really good treat. Well worth the 16 quid, I think.
Fair enough. And you know a little bit about Oasis, don't you? Because you actually wrote the book on Oasis.
I've literally written the book on Oasis. Yeah. yes, I have. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I just thought. Yeah, it just. I thought the Oasis song sounded great. Head Shrinker and Fade Away, like the two probably unexpected. Well, the one Liam hasn't really played so far. Since he started playing live on his own, they both sounded absolutely brilliant. I think there's probably a bit of jiggery pokery in the sound, how the sound's engineered, but if they've done it live on a different occasion, that's good enough for me.
Fair enough. All right, Richard, thank you so much, mate, and we'll speak again soon. We need to do the part two of the collaborations episode, don't we? Someone was asking me about that the other day.
Yeah, I'm currently beeping around the list, don't worry.
Cool. All right, someone else want to unmute? And Adam, I'm sorry, I appear to be taken over completely, but that's probably, and bubble gum, mate.
No, it's quite all right.
James, I've got a question for you.
Go on, mate.
Are you drinking Midori there?
No, I'm drinking. So this is spiced rum. And I was like, oh, I'll have a rum. What mixes have we got? And there's literally nothing in the house. And so I was like hunting around for a mixer. And I found like a can of bubblegum flavor pop, like a 49p job from the local corner shop. So that is bubblegum pop and spiced rum. And it's doing the job. Cheers.
I thought it might have been fairy liquor. Yeah, cheers. Tell you, did anyone pick up any of the things Liam said in between the songs? Because I saw he was telling people to fuck off left, right, and centre, but I couldn't really tell who he was telling to fuck off, to be honest.
I saw a comment on Twitter. Someone was saying they thought he was getting angry with the cameraman. I can't say I picked up it myself, but yeah, I think a few people have mentioned that. So yeah, suggesting he was upset with the cameraman.
That's interesting. We've had a comment from Ewan, has just said he's got workers in next door, so a bit noisy for him to join in. But he agrees on the full-time bonehead campaign. And he adds the wall of sound, which I feel Liam was missing on the As You Were tour. Brilliant stuff. Thank you, Ewan. Yeah, I like the comments. I didn't notice him sort of, as I say, maybe it's because I was tweeting the whole time, but I like the Rishi Sunak and Boris comment. I didn't get exactly what he said, but it sounded like he, you know, it was in that line about, is it worth the aggravation in cigarettes and alcohol? He sort of put that towards Rishi and Boris, which I thought was good. And then, and then there was a little line at the start of Greedy Soul where, what was it he said? He changed something, didn't he? He said, I'm not dead. And he like pointed at the camera and said, "Or you know, you think I am," or something like that, which I assume is a dig at Sarah, but I can't exactly remember. Any ideas?
I think the song is generally, the whole thing's a dig at Sarah, isn't it? So I would think it's, you know, that goes back to Sarah's comments about wanting him to drop dead or something on the line, something on Instagram or some sort of Instagram comment or something. And I think that Liam, that stuck in Liam's core quite a bit. So yeah, I think he always comes back to that one.
Yeah, fair enough.
The emo comment was interesting as well, wasn't it? The beginning of, is it Fadeaway or Headshrinker? I can't remember now.
Fadeaway.
It was Headshrinker, was it? Fadeaway, yeah. Yeah, that was different.
Yeah, so was he saying it's emo? Or someone said he thought maybe he was saying this one's emo. For Nemo, which, you
could
know.
Could be.
That's what I thought he said.
Don't know. Very weird.
Am I right in thinking that Gene came on? Because I saw someone come on with that like deputy dog hat.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was like a woman coming on. And at the end of it, I think it was you. Yeah. My son Aaron said, sure, Gene Gallagher got mentioned there. And I was like, oh, right, that makes sense, because he played drums on the tour, didn't he?
Yeah, and so, he played it on that tune as well, The River. Yeah, it's definitely Gene.
Passed me by during the gig that week, but there you go.
Yeah. One of the things I thought was weird was the lack of applause. You know, it just felt very strange. Like, you know, they'd sort of finish a song and then had this weird kind of looking around themselves, you know. One thing I did like, though, was that there was a little bit, because one of the things I miss, I think that you miss with this band versus Oasis, is that there isn't that same kind of confidence in the players that like, you know, Noel would like fiddle around and mess around between songs and there'd be that banter and stuff. And obviously this band is like, Liam's the star and they're the band and they just need to shut up and sit in the background. Whereas I thought that there was a couple of little bits, like when Gene came on, I think someone played a bit of Pink Panther and there was a little bit of like noodling and stuff. And I thought, that's good. Like, I want the other guys in the band to feel confident, to be like, no, we are a band. And if we want to express ourselves a bit, then that's fine. Do you know what I mean?
I was thinking exactly the same thing. I wonder how much the Kissy's arse a bit just to retain that position in the band.
Yeah.
How much to throw the line. I would think Drew McConnell doesn't have to do it as much, because he's got such a rich history of being in other people's bands anyway. But I just wonder how much they toe the line and allow, you know, they applaud Gene when he comes on, but I think secretly they're probably thinking, fuck off, man, you know what I mean? But, you know what I mean? But it's the singer's son, you know? So that's the gig, isn't it?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Anyone else want to jump in with any other comments?
Just one comment on Shockwave, I think it was. I think, I'm not 100% certain, but I think they played that one a half a step down than it is on the record. I don't know if anyone else noticed.
Oh, what, tuned down? Yeah, down a key or whatever.
Yeah.
Didn't notice.
I thought so, anyway.
Didn't notice, actually. That was, yeah, it could have been. I was quite surprised. I did see a few tweets around saying kind of original key, you know, oh, he sung it in the original key and things like that.
Mm.
But I don't know. Yeah, maybe Shockwave was down a little bit. Would make sense.
Some of the play on it was fantastic. The end of Supersonic was changed up slightly, I thought, as well. The solo was slightly different at the end of that. I thought that sounded good.
Yeah.
And the solo in Morning Glory as well. That sounded phenomenal. That was brilliant.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I thought...
I think the guitar solo in The River was a bit... I was like, whoa, don't we know about that?
I think it's one of those we're going to have to watch it back, aren't we? And actually, you know, check it out. Did anyone else feel like
it
wasn't, you know, because it was only just over an hour? I know with his live song, he doesn't do kind of these 2 hour sets or whatever, like Foo Fighters and things. They just play and play and play. But did anyone feel like, oh, that's it? Anyone feel that?
That is his comfort level, isn't it? To be fair, that's kind of, as you say, the hour kind of mark. I remember I went to go and see him. They did the Adidas Special launch party in Hackney Brown Church, and he blazed through. I don't know, it's probably about the same, probably about 12 songs and stuff, and not even an hour. Like, he just seems to operate at a peak for a very finite amount of time, but that's your lot, you know. And I think that was kind of potentially reflected in tonight as well. I think he goes big, then goes home, essentially. I think it's pretty much his attitude. He's not one for a long set.
I think it could be a thing with the online gigs as well, because you went to one of these things, I don't know. Watched the Fontaines DC, and it was an hour as well, pretty much.
Yeah.
There's something good about that, though, isn't there? It certainly leaves you wanting more, doesn't it? Certainly feel I could watch a bit more of it. So it's, if that's intentional, then it's really cleared up.
It's a good point, actually, with regards to the live streams as well. Like, an hour is kind of perfect. Otherwise, it doesn't warrant being a film length, does it? Like an hour and a half, whatever, or a proper gig length. An hour is kind of big. Like, I saw the Jarvis did one at the Caves in Derbyshire, and that was basically like, and the whole album, pretty much, but that was your lot. And it seems to work, especially with the mood that he was kind of going for. And I suppose they probably, like, logistically wise, well, they probably worked out what would be the best shots to go down the Thames. They probably looked and go, well, we can't spend half a mile coming out, you know, coming in from the east. Like, it has to sort of work quite well as well from a visual thing. So, you know, at the end, what was it? Champagne Supernova was around about Big Ben. That was seemed a good end point, really, I guess. So that factor in as well.
Yeah, they were kind of limited to the time they spent on the Thames. And I picked this up with Dan on the last call we had, James.
Yeah.
With Dan living in London. I asked them if that was right, where it's very tide sensitive, the Thames. So you've got to have them low boats to get under them bridges. And you could really tell some of the songs where they were going underneath them low bridges. Like, I think it's Waterloo Bridge, they were almost touching it. Because the tide comes up so high that you've only got like a 3 hour window to get under the bridges or something like that. So that probably logistically made it a bit difficult anyway. So he obviously wanted to keep moving during the whole gig, or he could have done like a little bit of a half hour extra, just parked up somewhere, which might have been nice. But I think it was a perfect amount of time, and it was a great set list, and it was a real treat to see Bonehead. I know we all thought he'd probably make an appearance at some point anyway, but it was a nice treat, I think, as soon as I saw him.
Yeah. I was just thinking about the songs he didn't play. No Slide Away. No Rock and Roll Star. No. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's unusual. That's I think probably the first time since he came back that's not happened.
No Live Forever. No Wonderwall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm happy for him not to play Wonderwall, because I've heard of Wonderwall enough for the rest of my life. But it's interesting that I suppose that the key thing is that you can watch like an hour of a Liam gig and be like, oh, that was fantastic, and I love the set list, and then come away and think, oh yeah, he didn't play all those songs. And I suppose that just goes shows the strength of Oasis back catalogue and obviously his own back catalogue now as well.
Did everyone catch All You're Dreaming Of? Because I'm guessing some people might have missed that.
It was a proper Marvel style post-credit spoiler, wasn't it?
Yeah. And clearly shot earlier as well. It was clearly shot earlier in the day. Well, I think it was daylight, wasn't it, as well? So yeah, I'm guessing there's people missed out on that, but I thought that sounded good as well. I much prefer it longer.
Is that the official video, do we think? We haven't seen the official video of that, of All You Dream Of yet, have we?
Oh, the Peaky Blinders Anthony Bones shot.
It's been done, hasn't it?
Yeah, that should be coming out very soon, I suppose. Like, I know that the vinyl's coming out soon, isn't it? So I suppose it will tie in with that. But, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
I was going to say, sorry, but the same recording was on the Jimmy Fallon show a couple of days ago, I think, of All You're Dreaming Of.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was what came up last night. So, it was on Jimmy Fallon, last night. So in the middle of the night for us. So I shared it this morning, but it's interesting. So maybe it was a case that like they filmed that and they weren't going to put that in the gig, and that was just going to go out to TV shows or whatever. But then they thought, oh, we should probably put it on there, because they just stuck it on at the end. I don't know. It was strange doing it like that way, like almost like a post credit scene. It was weird, but yeah, I thought it sounded good, and I really like the I like the version of the song, and I don't know. And there's been a bit of discussion on our Patreon Discord, like a bit heated at times as well, about, which versions are which and which versions were recorded where, and kind of, these various, did he sing live at Jonathan Ross? Did he not? You know, it was all that sort of stuff. So it's been interesting. But, but as I say, I think that the key thing is, let's think back to like 2016, before Liam came back, BDI have imploded. He's sort of basically washed up, and now what are we now, four years later, he's on top of the world. It's just amazing, really, that two massive hit albums, hit singles on the TV shows, on the big TV shows. It's really a remarkable comeback, and hopefully this will be the into next year, new album, and on it again. Let's look forward to a fantastic 2021.
Like, I genuinely think Liam's up there now compared to Lowell. Too many beers. Sorry, guys. Liam's kind of up there now in the public perception. Noel's down there in the public perception, simple as that. Whether it's output or whether it's, the way people think about them as people, genuine people who care about their fans or what. Liam is definitely higher up in the public perception, I would think. And it'd be interesting to know some people said on Twitter tonight, is Noel watching this, do you think? Be interesting to see if he is watching it, or if somebody in his team are watching it. I'm sure they're making a bit of money off it. But
yeah, he's made some money off it. Don't worry about that. Yeah,
I think you have. If he watched that, he'll have wished he was there in better times, because that was just incredible,
Yeah, it was quality. I text Tony McCarroll, name drop. Are you watching the gig? I'm not, mate. So he wasn't watching it. But to be fair, I think Tony probably would have struggled with the tech, because it was fiddly. And I know I've had a couple of messages from people that just couldn't do it. It just wouldn't work for them. It was a slog for me at the start, because I started off. I started off like, okay, we'll just stream it from the laptop. But then the sound was awful. The sound was like, juk, 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 juk. So I was like, okay, well, look, let's plug in. Let's try and do the sound, set it up on the phone to do the sound from onto a sound bar from the phone. And we'll do the picture on a laptop, but that didn't work. So then we just HDMI cable laptop into the TV, and that seemed to work. So yeah, did any of you guys, I think you mentioned it started, it cut out a couple of times, but like, what the point I was going to make, why didn't Sky or BT or someone, with Liam, like we're saying, he's so big right now, why not just do a Sky box office? Okay, done. And it's there. Same as the boxing. Saturday night, all right, sorry, I'll watch it. Bam. It's there. All of this, plug in your laptop. Come on, guys. Like, I'd imagine. I mean, this... Go on, Richard.
I'd imagine Sky would charge a fair few quid for that privilege, though. I think with Melody VR, it's much easier. They're a relatively new burgeoning company. Like, I think they've got a few live stream gigs going, but I imagine, they would charge them less than Sky. I think Sky can make what absolutely what they want off that. And I, from what I understand, the point of it was to raise money for the crew and the band, who haven't really had a capacity to earn any money this year. So I think it was hopefully more given towards that. But yeah, convenience. But, you know, I mean, this kind of sums up where we're at. We're moaning about, you know, technical issues and the tide. I mean, it's not quite the rock and roll gig we'd have planned, was it? But, you know, these are the times we live in. But I don't know if that's true that it's necessary to give money for the crew. Hopefully, Liam seems to be on a bit of a charity tip at the minute. So hopefully, it is to earn money for other people rather than him. So therefore, they probably went for the reasonable level. I thought it was just classic Liam that it was due to start at 8, and we still got a 5 minute delay. You know, he's still going to make us wait even when it's pre-recorded.
Yeah, to be honest, Richard, I've had watched a couple of these live stream events, and they're all exactly the same. And I think it's for our benefit, so in case we're late to it.
Yeah.
Does everyone get? I've seen a few people getting these physical tickets. Is there a limited number of them? Does everyone know? Or does everyone if you pay for it, do you get one through the post?
It was an option when the pre-sale. I don't know if it was one. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Right.
No,
all kind of things.
I only booked it a couple of days ago, and I don't think, because yeah, when you go through to book it, it was like, you know, virtual ticket £16.50, and then it was like, do you want a bag? Do you want a T-shirt? Do you want a whatever? And then that was all extra money. But I think the virtual ticket was just in the main £16.50 fee, I think. But maybe I missed that wrong. But yeah, I don't know. Oh, have you guys got your tickets? No,
I think what you're on about getting shakes. It's that you could get, you got like a limited edition ticket, didn't you? But
that was there we go. Richard's got it.
Richard would have it, like.
Of course.
Richard's probably got a personal delivery off Liam Gallagher. Like.
Signed. It's just a big, thick, good bit of cardboard, but I think it's just a souvenir thing. But yeah, I'm sure, I thought it was the fans pre-sale, maybe. If no one else has got one, then I'm thinking it must be that.
Yeah.
Got you. Got you, fair enough.
So, James, I've got a question for you.
Go, mate.
Before we move on. Given that Columbia sounded so incredible this evening, has it changed your perception of the song at all?
I don't know, mate. I was in the loo getting a drink at that point, so I don't know. To be fair, I've always said Columbia as a live song, especially like the when Oasis did it live later on, when they would, you know, when they mixed it up, like the famous one is the Barrowlands, the 2001, you know, when they're doing the yeah, 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 you know, that's got a lot of power to it. Like Andy and Gem in that period crushed it. So Columbia around then does sound great live, don't get me wrong. The key thing for me more is that on the record, I think it's a bit draggy. You know, I just think it sort of goes on a bit. But, you know, I do play up on that. I do think it's good. You know, I do think it's good. It's just entertaining for me that's become the running joke of the podcast. But I didn't think it was, it didn't blow me away this tonight on the boat. I think that they did do sort of good backing vocals on it. I think the girls were doing backing vocals on it, actually, at the end, weren't they?
They were really good.
Yeah, I thought the girls were good, but I thought it was good, but it didn't blow me away. I think that the one of the things with Liam's band is that they don't do kind of extended kind of 6 minute songs and stuff. I think probably Liam's like, fuck, just fucking, you know, boom, finish, next song, you know. And so a lot of the songs don't go in for, you know, I suppose when you've got a band of musicians where they're like, oh yeah, let's jam this out for 2 minutes and whatever. Whereas where Liam's the boss, so he's like, no, you do the song and you end it and you do another song that I'm singing, you know. And so you don't really get that with this band. And so Columbia is a little bit, it'd be interesting to see the timings of this version of Columbia versus like when Oasis used to play it. I would imagine that was like 5 minutes, whereas Oasis would play it at like 7 minutes, I think. So
It was interesting to see Bonehead. He started off playing bar chords because he had another rhythm guitarist behind him and a lead guitarist. He reverted back to just playing a normal A chord like partway through the song, and I've never seen him do that. Like, he always plays bar chords live, but he reverted back to a normal A chord on the second fret, you know, just from a nerdy guitarist point of view. Yeah. Paul with all these guitars on the wall will agree.
Yeah. What have, any other comments about the band or the playing? I thought Jay Mailer, I thought, was really good, actually. I think that, I've seen some negativity about Jay Mailer's playing. Like, even stuff like he doesn't get the bend right at the start of Rock and Roll Star and things like that. But I thought Jay was good, and I thought he had quite a lot of confidence, like even doing a lot of feedbacky stuff up to the amp and things. I thought, like, you know, that sort of jumped out. But any other musos, guitar players, want to jump in and comment on that?
I thought it was good, yeah. I thought Fade Away, the tone of it was very accurate, I thought, to the original.
What were you going to say, Aaron?
Yeah, the guitar's really good. Yeah, and the guy with the red guitar, he was amazing. When he was doing the supersonic solo and the, you know, the little like licks and stuff in it, they were really good. But like Liam's band's more of an orchestra than a band, I think. Like, he expects them to do well. That's just my opinion.
It's quite big. It's quite a lot of people, isn't it? When you weigh in all the backing singers and everyone, and obviously Bonet going in and out, and you've got you know what, bassist and three guitarists at certain points. Like, that's quite a sound they've got going on. It clearly takes a lot of them to recreate the Oasis sound. Well, yeah, what is primarily the Oasis sound when they're doing it. Do you know what I mean? It's a big squad.
How do we feel about the mix of Oasis songs with As You Were and then with Why Me, Why Not? I thought it was once again, like I said earlier, I think it was an interesting omissions. And, you know, it was nice to have Head Shrinker and Fade Away in there. But I think it's a nice mix again, like, you know, you know, you've got to play. I suppose it's interesting because it's like, these days, it's not like there's singles that you've got to play, because Paper Crown was a single. Now That I Found You was a single. But are they really singles? You know what I mean? It's just like they release tracks, but everything's already released. So it's not really like it's a single. But I thought, what did you guys think? Anyone want to comment on that? The actual mix of tunes in the set list?
Yeah, I would love to have heard You're All I Need on there, but just because it's a personal favourite. But I think you're dead right, James. I don't think in this day and age there isn't. People like put a bit more importance on certain songs in the album. They're classed as singles, and as we know, as singles. But, you know, you don't release singles anymore. It's more just promotion for the album, isn't it, really? So it's a difficult one. It's, you know, people have their favourite songs on the album, and I'm sure the band have the favourite songs to play. But, yeah, I think that's probably one of the reasons why he didn't play Rock and Roll Star. How can you play a Rock and Roll Star when you're stood on a barge in the Thames and you've got nobody around you, you know? It's all about the, I suppose, the environment. Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably just babbling a bit too much because I've had too much IPA.
I think you guys might disagree, and I'd quite like to get your view, but I'd love to see some BDI songs get introduced in the future. A couple of those thrown in would be quite good to the mix. I think there's a lot of really underrated songs on those couple of albums.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely agree,
Chris,
with that.
What would, Chris, if it was up to you, what would you chuck in there?
Oh, I don't know, actually. Soul Love, probably. Chuck that in there.
Yeah, he did that for a while, didn't he? He did play Soul Love for a bit. And what was the other one? He played another one for a little bit as well, which I can't think off the top of my head. Or maybe it was only Soul Love.
I think he was, wasn't it? Just was it? I think. Flick of the Finger would be great live. That would
Four letter words.
Yeah.
Don't bother me, but it's a bit psychedelic, I suppose, and a bit long.
Yeah. I think it would need to be one of the quicker ones, one of the more aggressive ones, I think, because you don't want like a. Because BDI, to be fair, like, people don't forget this, but they did have a lot of like quite quiet, introspective songs. I was talking to, I was talking to Chris Elliott recently, who did the Strings and Brass and on All You're Dreaming Of. And he said he was like quite taken aback about Liam's vocal in All You're Dreaming Of, because it was so quiet and there was no anger in the voice. It was very relaxed. And I was like, yeah, well, but that's like Start Anew by BDI. And he was like, well, I don't know Start Anew by BDI. It's like, but yeah, like he has done that. Like I'm Out of Time and things like that. He does do those sort of quieter vocals. It's just, I suppose, if you're not like a super fan who devours everything, you probably wouldn't know. But there you go.
I was going to say to James that he's just missing Pass Me Down the Wine.
Right. If it was passing me down the wine, I would not be paying £6.50 for it, let alone 16. Fucking hell. All right. All right, guys. Well, we've got we're cheap here and we don't pay for Zoom Pro. So we've got one minute 48 left to go. So I just want to say thanks everyone for jumping in. I do really appreciate it. Fantastic gig. Really, really enjoyed it. Adam, anything else you want to say before we come off?
No, just thanks for the idea of doing a joint watch party together and this podcast afterwards. Appreciate it. Thank you.
No worries. All right. Well, thank you very much. Who have we had on? We've had Ewan, we've had Chris, we've had Paul, we've had Adam, who is got some weird numerals C0. I don't know what that's all about. And we've had Andy and we've had me. I'm James from the Oasis podcast. Make sure you're following. And we've had Aaron. Sorry. Yep. Hello, Aaron. Our youngest, probably our youngest guest ever. There you go, Aaron. You can enjoy that. Cool. All right, gents. Thank you very much for being involved. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. And how do we finish this off? We say stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. All right. All the best, everybody.
Cheers, mate.
Bye. Cheers.